1 Corinthians 11:24. We read, when Jesus had given thanks, he brake it, the bread, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. I would like us to consider those words in the context of iniquity. Our message today is on iniquity. We read in Isaiah 53:6, the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Here's our approach this morning. We're going to first of all review what iniquity is. Then we'll talk about what the results of being iniquitous are. And then the remedy and the responsibility that you and I have. So let's begin with the review of iniquity. The word itself has two parts, in and equity. In means not, and equity means equal. So the word literally means not equal. Here's the standard, and here's where we are. We're not measuring up. We're missing the mark of what is required of us when we are iniquitous. The response is not equal to a requirement. Biblically, iniquity is thus not doing what is right. That's a starting point. Not doing what we should be doing. The causes for iniquity can range all the way from oblivious ignorance to willful resistance. When I say oblivious ignorance, a person can do wrong but be not mindful that he is doing wrong, like a wide-eyed puppy walking across wet cement, making a mess, doesn't know that he's doing it. It ranges from that all the way to willful resistance. Oblivious ignorance, we have, for example, written in Proverbs 7 and verse 7. I beheld among the simple ones a young man void of understanding. We can live in a culture where people have so far left God, they don't even inquire of him, don't even consider if there is an accountability with God, don't even consider if there is a standard that God has for this or for that. They're void of understanding. That means empty of it, like an empty-headed person. And this goes all the way to willful resistance, where people are challenged with what is the will of God, but they don't want to be challenged. The Bible says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. So there's a range of people within the category of iniquity. For example, let's say the charge is don't drink that poison. A simple person didn't know that he was told to do that, so he drinks, but wasn't aware that it was poison. A fool does know, but he's easily swayed by whatever crowd he's around, so he decides to drink anyway. And then you have a scoffer, and he knows what he's been told to do, but he resists authority. He wants to do whatever he wants to do. Won't believe anybody tell him anything. He hates being told, and so he drinks. All three categories of people end up drinking, but their consequences may vary. So we read in Luke 12:47-48. Luke 12:47. That servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. He knew what the Lord had said to do, and he chose not to do it. That person receives many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten, yes, still, but with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. So you and I are responsible for all that we have been informed concerning, more so than those who have not been informed. But we do note that all iniquity will be judged. We read, for example, in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Destroyed for lack of knowledge. You see, God hates this ignorance. God hates iniquity. We read in Hebrews 1:9, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Indeed, iniquity is the mark of the damned. Matthew 7:23, and I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. This is what is said to those who are being cast into the devil's lake of fire. They are people who worked iniquity. So, really, not doing right does not capture the full terribleness of iniquity. It's not just not doing right. It can be defined as an unloving opposition to truth, a stubborn rejection of authority. Ultimately, it is lawlessness. My mind, I'll think whatever I want to think. My tongue, I'll say whatever I want to say. My body, I'll do whatever I want to do with my body. And don't anybody try to tell me what to do. That's the spirit of lawlessness. Note what we know of its features. The first is this, friends. This iniquity is common to us all. We read in Psalm 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And so iniquity is likened unto the embryonic fluid in which we were as we were being formed in our mother's belly. And so it's common to us all. All of us have iniquity. Psalm 51:5 again, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So it goes all the way back to conception. Iniquity precedes other bad things. First, iniquity, and then watch what flows from it. We read in Proverbs 22 and verse 8, they that sow iniquity shall reap vanity. And so it goes from bad to worse. It spreads. It dominates. We read in Psalm 40 and verse 12, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. This lawless disposition has a way of encroaching and calcifying and hardening and darkening. It's a process that continues. It spreads and it dominates. It takes hold of us. See, for example, Isaiah 64:6. Our iniquities, like the wind, consider the wind outside and the power of it, like the wind has taken us away. Oh, it's a desperate thing when a people, when a culture, when a nation becomes characterized as iniquitous. It's also deceiving. Jeremiah 16:10, iniquity deceives. It shall come to pass when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? Isn't this something? In the time of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is announcing the whole nation of Israel is going down, the southern kingdom of Judah, going down because of your iniquity. They go, I don't see it. Where are we? Where's our iniquity? So it's deceiving. People can be in the despised of by the Lord, and as far as they know, no problem at all. Also, iniquity can be passed on. Don't forget what we read in Exodus 20 and verse 5. I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Not the punishment of what the parents did, but there's an influence. If our folks were the sort who didn't do the thing right, didn't observe this, didn't obey that, had a cavalier attitude towards authority, resistant, that is a way of passing on and doubling and quadrupling as it goes from one generation to the next. Iniquity starts from the time of conception, and it can continue to be passed on through the generations. But it does have limits set by God. For example, Genesis 15:16, the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. The cup of their iniquity could get fuller yet before God's judgment falls upon them. So it has limits where God says, thus far and no farther. He will bear up to the rebellious, iniquitous disposition, but only so long. Now, we're speaking in broad theological terms. I'd like to give some very practical applications so that we all see ways in which all of us have been guilty of iniquity. Possible, and I underscore possible, examples of iniquity in daily life. What would you think? One would be unscrutinized language. Unscrutinized, unexamined, never thought about it. This, whatever comes out of the mouth, comes out of the heart, don't think about it. If this is offensive, if this is harmful, if this is racist, if this is defiling, if this is vulgar, people just speak what's ever in their heart. That's unscrutinized language. It may be inaccurate, maybe irrelevant, irreverent, it may be vulgar, it may be racist. You know, some people say, he Jewed me down, or I got gypped. Well, those are unkind words towards certain ethnic groups, and many other such words. Language can be discouraging. Some people don't know how, but that they speak in a way that discourages others and takes the life right out of them. All of that, those are all examples of iniquity. Unscrutinized language. Unmanaged eyes. Eyes which may look upon what is not his to see or not look upon. You know the scripture, not his to see. Let's stop there. You understand that God says there are certain things you and I are not to look upon? Oh, the culture we have has no feeling, no comprehension of this anymore, or no care about it. But the book says, for example, the Bible says the book of Leviticus, not to look upon the nakedness of another. That's not your nakedness, God says. Don't look upon that. Don't look upon the wine when it's fermenting. Don't. There are certain things you don't look upon, and there are certain things you should look upon, but don't. The Bible tells us to look upon this, look upon that. Let your eyes look straight forward, the Bible says. Look unto heaven. Look under the horizons. If we aren't looking where God said to look, that's the example of just lawless, cavalier, uncaring about what are the edicts of God. That's iniquity. Unscrutinized language, unmanaged eyes, unguarded hearts, which might be filled with pride or laden with wicked thoughts or void of worthy passions. Our hearts can be iniquitous. And so also uncontemplated walk, which may be without heavenly inquiry or conviction or purpose, or value. You and I are charged, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you have been called. Our walk is to be in keeping with God's instruction. Let's get even a little more specific. A few possible applications. I would encourage a person to stay away from syndicated television comedy shows like Seinfeld, or Friends, or The Office, or The Big Bang Theory, or Married with Children. Now, I understand these are older shows and maybe some, I don't know what the newer ones are. But these are illustrations of the kind of spirit that the actors make millions of dollars and people are idolized and watch and are mesmerized by this. But the fact is that these shows, as best I understand them, not saying there aren't good things in them, perhaps funny things, but there is a resistance to the standards of God, a embracing of fornication, adultery, vulgarity, or other sorts of standards which have no reference to the Lord and to His Word and to His Savior. Another application, beware on-demand video streaming services like Netflix, Hulu, Disney, and so on. The people who write these, the people who act in these shows, I don't get the impression that they are concerned about the moral impact on the children or whoever it is who might be watching them. And so beware the vulgar language, which is so common. First it was just sailors, it seems like, and then maybe it was sailors and men, and then sailors men, and then the women, and now it's moved on to this common in children as well, the most vile of language. I would also watch out for reels on Facebook, etc. I don't know too much about reels, but they're little clips, little interesting clips, and some of them might be of animals, and some might be of a snip from a certain TV show, and here's some candid car accident, and people are cursing each other. Again, the people who put this stuff up there may not be concerned about the moral impact. The point is that all of this may show little knowledge or concern about standards or accountability to you or to God. This is the spirit of iniquity. So our approach is, first of all, to define iniquity, review that. What are the results of iniquity? One of them is deterioration. You want to walk with God, you're going to stay away from iniquity. You're going to repent of it. You're going to purpose to be more and more sensitive to what is the design of God, more and more submissive to His ways. Because iniquity doesn't stay in the same place. There's a deterioration that occurs. Take, for example, Ezekiel 28:15, a description of the anointed cherub, of Lucifer. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. You want to talk about deterioration. The anointed cherub in all of his wonder and beauty after he sinned corrupted and degenerated until he became Satan, the devil. That's the kind of deterioration that occurs when a person monkeys with this terrible disease. Ezekiel 28, starting with verse 13, let's look more of the text here concerning the anointed cherub. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. See what iniquity does. See the deterioration. The second impact of this, of iniquity, is cold hearts. We read in the last days in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, when iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. A third impact of iniquity is destruction. Destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity, Proverbs 21:15. But ultimately, the result is finding oneself in eternity in hell. Matthew 13:41-42. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So we reviewed what the word means. We've seen the results. What's the remedy? What's the remedy of iniquity? Well, God sent a Savior with no iniquity. So we read in Malachi 2:6, the law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from iniquity. No iniquity. Secondly, this Savior gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Titus 2:14. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. All the iniquity of all of us, he took every bit of it and placed it on himself. And that's where iniquity was judged. The punishment for all of our iniquity was laid on him. So we quote Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's iniquity. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Number four, God will remember no more the iniquities of those who put their trust in the Savior. We read in Hebrews 8:12, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. All the ways, friends, all the ways that we've offended a holy God through all of our history, all of that was laid on a Savior, judged in the Savior. And God says, for all those who look and believe and receive that substitutionary death, he will remember our iniquities no more. So we've reviewed what the term means, what the results are for those who are iniquitous, what is the remedy. Finally, what is our responsibility? What we are to do is to cry out to God to blot out all our iniquities. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, David prays, Psalm 51, and cleanse me from my sin. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Secondly, having named the name of Christ, we are then to depart from iniquity. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from this lawless, inconsiderate, vain, ignorant of God and of his ways approach to life. Depart from iniquity. Look to God for liberation from the power of iniquity. Micah 7:19. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. And four, confess the iniquities of our forefathers. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Psalm 106:6. Five, separate ourselves from the workers of iniquity. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity. We read in Psalm 59:2. And finally, six, warn people. Ezekiel, that was his responsibility. Ezekiel 3:18. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will require at thy hand. So Christian brothers and sisters, the Lord's Supper, this Lord's Supper, let's focus on what Christ has done with all our iniquity. And we must cry to God to blot out our iniquities, depart from iniquity, look to God for liberty, confess iniquities of forefathers, separate from the workers of iniquities, and warn others. To read this together with me, please, and then we'll sing. The Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Let's sing. We observe the Lord's table in part to communicate we have something in common. In many ways, we are different. We have different levels of education. We have different life experiences. There are many ways in which we're diverse, but there are certain things we have in common. And one of those is certain commitment concerning God. We believe that God is. We're all here believing that God is because he has confirmed his reality inside of us. He has confirmed his reality on the outside of us in creation. And he has confirmed to us his reality by the Spirit working through the Word of God. And most of all, he's spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. We all have this in common, don't we? Our conviction of the existence of the Creator God. A second thing that we have in common is our understanding concerning who we are as a people. The Bible tells us that God created man an ever-living soul. Our understanding is that we are going to continue in existence for eternity. Granted, our bodies will die unless they're transformed without death, but most of us will die. But that's not even the end of our body. Our body will go from mortal to immortal. It'll go from corrupt to incorruption. And we believe that a new body will be associated with our soul, and we will live forever. These are things we understand about ourselves. We are eternal souls. And we also understand this about ourselves, that we all are in jeopardy before God, who will judge everything. And it's all that we've spoken, all that we've said, all that we've done, all that we've not done, is appointed to man once to die and then the judgment. We understand that we will give an account of our lives. Thirdly, we understand this and we have this in common. Our understanding that, is this just a little too loud? I wonder if we could turn that volume down just a little bit. Our understanding that we cannot make it to heaven based on our own righteousness. We all understand that none is righteous, no, not one. That there's a judgment of God on all sin, and we've all sinned. And so we have this as a commitment and conviction. We all have this in common. None of us can make it to heaven through our own works, through our own behavior, but rather we must look to the merits of another. And it is our belief that there is a man who came here to earth some 2,000 years ago, born of a virgin, born fathered by God, without sin, with no iniquity, who died in our place, that all of our sins swept all entirety and placed upon him, and all who look to him, all our souls healed. We believe, it's so simple, but just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's why we are gathered here, to observe the Lord's table, to express the common convictions concerning God, ourselves, and the way of salvation. And we take this bread, and we say, as that bread is nourishment to our bodies, so is the bread of life, Jesus Christ, nourishment to our souls. Christ is our only hope. He became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the question is, do you believe this? Have you called upon Christ as your Savior? Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? Now would be the time to do it. Today is the day of salvation. Have you received Christ? Have you been born again? Is your soul secure? And for all those who can say yes, we ask you now to join with us in this, the Lord's Supper.